You're listening to episode 29 of the National Centre for Writing podcast with me, Simon Jones. Every week we talk about the writing life and discover exciting new projects. It's Wednesday, 23rd of January, here at Dragon Hall in Norwich, and this week we've got something of a mini-sode in which we talk to Roz Watkins about techniques for constructing a book series, how to develop a lead detective character over multiple novels, and how plans can change from book to book. Back on the show to ask the questions is Elspeth Latimer, a UEA postgraduate researcher in crime fiction. You might remember that Elspeth interviewed Winnie M. Lee back in episode 23. As with that episode, our chat with Roz was recorded during the Noirage Crime Writing Festival in 2018.
Welcome, Roz Watkins.
Thank you.
A great deal of the crime fiction that is written and read and borrowed from libraries, it takes the form of a series. Your book, The Devil's Dice, is your debut novel, but it's also the first in a new series, the D.I. Meg Dalton series. When you first sat down to write it, did you think this is or could be the start of a series?
To be perfectly honest, no, I didn't really think like that at all. And I think the first time I even really thought about that was when I first met the woman who turned eventually into my agent. And she said, oh, is this the beginning of a series? And I sort of looked at her and raised my eyebrows and said, yes. and then she sort of said, oh yes, good, good. And then when she was pitching to publishers, she said, oh, I need you to give me a couple of paragraphs about books two and three. And I was thinking, okay, so there are books two and three, are there? So I thought, well, okay, if she thinks we can potentially sell more books, so I'll work out how to write more books. But no, when I was first writing it, I thought it was my practice book, really. I sort of just wrote it, just not really thinking about the future. And then gradually, as I got nearer and nearer to submitting to agents, I started thinking a bit more about making it publishable, but not really about the future of the series. I wish I'd thought about it more, actually.
In a series, there can be a sense of longer story arcs and character arcs that reach forward into future novels.
Yeah.
Is that something that you're now engaging with books two and three, and greater, that longer narrative sense?
I'm thinking about that obviously much more now. I mean, some authors that say, oh yes, I had this 7-book idea in my head, and I just like, wow, I can't imagine that. I'm sort of thinking one book in advance, really. And I think that's, for me, the biggest challenge with a series, because I love books where the main character goes through quite a profound sort of personal change. So in the first book, I wrote that almost more like a standalone, in that it was quite personal to the detective. It ended up involving stuff that forced her to confront things from her past and all the rest of it. And I like writing that kind of thing. But then, of course, you come to book two, and I made that quite personal again, but I thought, well, I can't make it as personal because it's ridiculous. You can't have a detective. Every murder she gets, it ends up involving her family or, you know, forcing her to confront stuff from her past. It's not realistic. So it's that challenge. I know some writers bring in other point of view characters, which I haven't in book two, but I have in book three. But everyone is saying we want more Meg, we want more of a main character. So my editor has actually asked me to cut down a bit on the other character in book three because she wants more Meg. So I'm trying to find ways to sort of develop her more in the subsequent books. And I wish I'd given her more relatives, really. more sort of potential problems for the future. I had to resurrect her dad, actually. He was initially dead, but then I changed that and he then ended up in Scotland instead.
So there's a way in which, you know, the character's backstory, your protagonist's backstory, can create material that then gets brought into the stories.
Yeah, definitely. So that's why I'm thinking, why didn't I give her some more siblings? Because they could have appeared to cause problems in the future. Her mum is quite an interesting character, and her gran. So they crop up again in future books. And then in book three, I bring her dad back from Scotland and he starts causing trouble. But I can't say that I've got a sort of real idea about where that goes in the future. I'm sort of making it up as it goes along, as in your own life, I suppose, where things just crop up and you deal with them. So it's not a very structured sort of 7-book character arc or anything, I'm afraid.
And with Dead Man's Daughter, the second book in the series, because you'd already established a voice for Meg and the world that she lives in, did that feel like stepping back in? Did that feel easier in some respects to write the second book, or were there other challenges?
It certainly didn't feel easy at the time, but looking back on it, it was easier than book three. So I think a lot of people, book two is their real sort of really hard book, isn't it? Whereas I think I was in the fortunate position of having quite a long period between getting the deal and the first book coming out. So I wrote most of book two in the happy position of not having to worry about reviews or sales or any of that. So looking back on it, that book, and also I think I still had quite a lot. Yeah, there was a lot of, Meg did come quite easily back to me for that. Whereas writing book three just was harder, and also I find myself thinking, oh God, did she say that in book one? You know, things that come to your mind and you're thinking you don't want any sort of repetition, even though probably no one would notice except me. So that's a bit harder, but then also you get to know the character better, so it's interesting to see how she develops, really. And she's got this ex-boyfriend who I've referred to in books one and two, but I've not really fleshed out, so I'm thinking, oh, you know, I could work out what exactly went on there and a bit more about what happened to her in her last job. That's quite fun, working out sort of stuff from her past.
And for Meg, did she kind of arrive in your head fully formed almost, or was she a character that you kind of built and discovered over time in the drafting process?
She was a bit odd, really, because she wasn't supposed to be the main character, because I didn't want to write a police procedural, because I hadn't actually read very many police procedurals, and I didn't know any police procedure, and I didn't have any police contacts, so I thought I was writing a psychological thriller. So initially I was writing in the voice of one of the other characters, and then I brought this detective on, because obviously I had a body, I did need a detective, and she sort of took over. And I just, there's obviously a lot of me in her, but she isn't me. She's different from me, but it seemed quite clear in which way she was different. So yeah, I think she did arrive quite fully formed, actually. And at that point, once I'd written a few scenes for her, and I just thought, it's her book. So at that point, I had to try and get in touch with a sort of long lost friend who used to be a scene of crimes officer and start looking into police procedure, which has been one of the hardest things, actually.
That's really fascinating to hear how Meg could have really took over and occupied the book.
Yes,
and took,
yes, yes, couldn't get rid of her once she turned up on the scene.
She's a hugely appealing character.
Hobbled in and it's like, right, my book.
No, but I can, you know, having read and enjoyed your book so much, I can see why, you know, when she was on the page, you went with her, because you know, she has that sort of, you know, you're drawn to her, and she has that momentum to sort of take you through a series. I can really
see
that. Thank you very much. That's been fascinating hearing about the whole process of how you embark on and you know, push forward with a series. That's great.
Hopefully, it'll reassure people that you don't necessarily need to have a massive sort of master plan in your head, that you can just write them more or less as you go on.
Thanks for listening, and thanks to Roz for taking the time. We've also got a great blog post from Roz about fairy tales, folklore, and the unknowable over on the website. There's a link down in the show notes. Elspeth was able to conduct this interview thanks to support from Chase, aka the Consortium of the Humanities and Arts, South East England. If you prefer your podcasts a little longer, so as to fill up that long commute, don't worry, next week's episode marks the return of Tim Clare, for a very special and exciting episode. So that you don't miss that, please do subscribe, rate and review the podcast over on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify or wherever you happen to be listening. If you have writer friends, and if you don't, then why not, please do let them know about us. To make sure you're always the first to know about upcoming writing opportunities and events, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Writers Centre, like us over on our Facebook page, or sign up to our newsletter at nationalcentreforwriting.org.uk. There's lots of great stuff coming up soon in 2019, so head over to the website and check out the What's On section for more info. In the meantime, have a good week of writing, and I will catch you on the next episode.